Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news, it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. The Gospel of the Kingdom, Zechariah 2:5. But I declares the Lord will be a wall of fire to her on all sides, and I will be the glory in her midst. Now, today, I want to talk real briefly about a key point, I think, that we talked a little bit about on Sunday that I think everybody here in Patriot Radio Land needs to hear, needs to embrace, and that is the idea of moving mountains. Now, in the scripture, in Mark, it talks about how Jesus walked by a fig tree and how that fig tree withered. And then immediately after that, he talks about moving mountains. Mountains in scripture are a kingdom. That is what a mountain is in scripture. It is a kingdom. We are in many different respects, missing this. When Jesus withers the fig tree, a fig is a fruit of a nation. You can actually read this in Jeremiah chapter 24. The expectation of God is that not only do we have individual fruits, which is symbolized in scripture by grapes or the vine, but the fruit specifically coming from the vine, but also figs. We have to have fruit as a nation. And one of the interesting things about figs is somebody actually told me after the sermon on Sunday is that the leaves come out at the same time as the fruit. So it was almost like false advertising. The leaves are out, but there's no fruit. It's deception. It looks right. It looks righteous, but no, it's not. Because there's no fruit. And again, the test in the spirit is there fruit? And so we can move mountains, kingdoms. If we pray and believe, we can move kingdoms. And that, again, really goes against what a lot of people are saying today. Somehow Christianity is just something I read in a book, and it never is supposed to impact the culture. And what a fruitless idea that is, quite literally and figuratively. We as Christians need to be moving mountains today. And I got to tell you something. You can look in every direction right now, Washington, D.C., Olympia. You can even look here in Spokane, Washington. Mountains need to be moved. And are we praying that way, believing it and receiving it as if it had already happened? Because that's also what it says in that chapter. And if you get the opportunity tonight, make a list with your family of the mountains in your life. Make a list of the different things that have become maybe obstacles or stumbling blocks in your life, as well as what are the mountains in your community. Do you have mountains in your family? Do you have mountains at your workplace, in your job, in your business? Today, Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 25 is more important than ever. Because Christians have been sitting on the sidelines for a very long time. And worse, there's been Christians sitting on the sidelines sniping at other Christians that are actually in the arena, actually on the field, producing fruit. Don't be those Christians. Be the Christians on the field. Be the Christians sniping from the stands. John 14, verses 11 through 15 also mentions this idea, and there's one part that I want to leave you with today. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In other words, when we pray, and we're praying for something that's going to glorify the Son, it's going to be granted to us, because it says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus's love language is obedience. And so some folks ask me, well, what are the obstacles to moving mountains? Well, one of them is unforgiveness, and one of them is, well, sin. It's disobedience. It's people that are not obeying the commands of God. And somebody asked me, well, what about the whole transgender issue? I mean, you know, if we tell them it's sin, is that loving them? And the answer is absolutely it is. And you can do it in a way where it is loving. And there are a lot of people being set free, detransitioning. There are a lot of people being set free from the depression that is associated with all of that and all of the torment that is associated with it as well. And so it's something that we can be praying for people about. And maybe you have somebody in your family that is struggling with this. Maybe that's the mountain in your family. Well, today, after you make that list, it's a very simple prayer. Name that mountain and tell that mountain, move in Jesus' name. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. Now, this is probably one of the most important intelligence briefings that I have ever done. I want to tell you that if you are listening right now, you probably want to go to Podbean later and re-listen to the show, take notes, actually go read the article that I'm about to tell you. We have come into a time that no longer is there going to be a delay, it looks like. And I'm going to explain what that means here in a second. First of all, on the international front, Independence Eve, terrorist car ramming, injures six in Jerusalem. So the Israelis are celebrating their 75th anniversary of independence. And it is very interesting because, of course, there is continued terror attacks there. And it looks like there are Islamic countries now building a coalition surrounding Israel. Where is that in the Bible? Maybe that's in Ezekiel. I don't know. Anyway, the bottom line is that it's just one more reason to look up because our redemption draws nigh, but also to be moving in the Spirit, pressing into what God has for each one of us, and not delaying, not sitting on our laurels, not sitting on our hindquarters and claiming to be Christian because we're so righteous on our very comfortable couch. Which brings me to Jack Decker. Now, a couple weeks ago, we had Jack Decker on here, and he talked about what they wargamed in 2014 that would happen starting in 2020 and then moving forward. And he said that things look like they're going to get very tough very soon. Again, there's no fear in this. This is just the objective analytical framework we're going to use today. And for that, we're going to go to understandingthethreat.com. And I'm going to explain something to you. In 2018, I received a briefing from not the best counterterror experts in the entire world about what was going to happen in 2019 and 2020, namely that there was going to be violence in the streets from communist elements inside the United States, and they were going to pull out all the stops to try and keep Trump from being reelected. Well, as I got the briefing, I came back home, and I briefed Republican leadership in the House of Representatives about what was about to happen, and that I was going to begin traveling around the country to tell people and warn people in communities all over the United States about what was coming. Now, of course, instead of having my back, they became complicit in the Rampart report, and what I had gone around warning people about actually came to fruition. Now, again, this was a year and a half ahead of time. Well, last Thursday, we were briefed again. And the prediction is, starting May 1st, ramping up into Memorial Day, and then over this summer, there's going to be increased violence targeted at Christians, Christian churches, Christian leaders, ministry leaders inside the United States of America. And when I say targeted, I mean for violence from Marxist organizations here and potentially jihadi organizations inside the United States of America. Again, this is all part of the overall picture to destabilize the United States prior to the Third World War. And we don't accept any of this stuff. We pray against it, and this should give you a ton of different prayer points. Now, if you have not read the article, I would strongly urge you to do it. There's going to be a full report. So this is kind of think of this as like an executive summary. There's going to be a full report that will be put out here very shortly. You can follow me and find these reports on Twitter, at Rep. Matt Shea, at Rep. Matt Shea. And again, on our ticker, Travis, we can make sure those things are up there so people that see them can follow them. But the article is entitled Preparing for the Coming Violence. Now, I want to show you a couple things in the article, and then I'm going to talk about something that's been happening across the United States and give you some indicators. So for your own ministry, your own church, that you can look out for these indicators and know, hey, wait, something might be not just off, but that we need to increase our vigilance, our posture at our houses of worship. Now, I take this very seriously. Around the rest of the world, they are very vigilant, especially near or in Muslim countries, because they have been suffering persecution for a very long time, and persecution in the form of violence. Here in the West, our persecution has primarily taken the narrative attack or the smear by words. Now, as I've mentioned before on the show, what these people are using is a Maoist insurgency model. They are using political warfare and a mass line with a united front. So communists and jihadi organizations working together, a united front, with a mass line, in other words, a common messaging and narrative attack on Christians in the United States. They are intent on dividing Christians so they can ultimately destroy them. So again, if you hear anybody attacking inside the churches, especially at this moment in history, whether they mean to be or not, they are becoming part of the narrative line attack with the intent of destroying the church in the United States of America. In other words, they're becoming part of the problem. Now, political warfare is what they are using here in the United States to attack us. And so you have the nonviolent elements of the Marxists and the jihadis inside the United States that give cover. In other words, they give rhetorical cover. They'll ignore reporting about these things. They'll try to diminish what is happening. Oh, Antifa's really just an idea. It's not really an organization. Or you will see them outright try to deny things ever happened. And by giving cover, the nonviolent actors are allowing the violent actors, in fact, giving them a green light to move forward with whatever violence they have. Now, we saw this in 2020 play out, Antifa, BLM riots all over the United States, and there was cover given by mainstream media outlets here in the U.S., diminishing the stories, diminishing the violence, trying to use words to soften it, all these kind of things. So you have the nonviolent actors giving cover for the violent actors. Now, a lot of people think, oh, well, that's just, it's not really court. This is all coordinated. One of the analysts here in the United States of America, and we're going to have him on here very soon. And you can read his stuff at Unconstrained Analytics. His name is Stephen Coughlin. Now, he predicted the Arab Spring almost a year ahead of time, and he predicted months ahead of time the George Floyd riots. Now, I want you to hear that again. He predicted those things ahead of time. So the implication then is not only are there indicators, but that some of it is planned. If not all of it being planned. Now, what is it? Well, coordinated rioting, organizing people to do the rioting, organizing people to target Christians with narrative attacks in the media. That's what I'm talking about. And clearly some of it was planned ahead of time because people showed up with brand new, nice, shiny signs the day of the spontaneous, supposedly, riots and protests. So that brings us now to preparing for the coming violence. Couple of things. I'm going to go through this kind of quickly. You need to go read the article yourself. Travis put it up there online. But I want to also tell you some of the things to look for. So get ready to write down some of the indicators to look for, okay? All right. First of all, the prediction is the violence may begin as early as the Memorial Day weekend timeframe. So in other words, the organization starts May 1st. It ramps up and begins sometime in that timeframe. May not be exact. Quote, UTT assesses that during this next wave of violence, the enemy's focus will be on targeted assassinations. I want you to hear that again. The enemy's focus will be on targeted assassinations and larger scale killings. Our adversaries may also move to bring the entire republic down if it feels it can achieve that goal and the right moment of opportunity presents itself. Previously, they targeted property. Now, they are targeting people. Targets will likely include Christian patriots, especially leaders of patriot causes in communities. End quote. Why do they say this? Why are they so strong on this? Well, they list it. They list the foundations for both the communist and jihadi movements in the United States of America, and you can go ahead and read that. Now, part of this, I want to highlight a few things that you may never have heard of, okay? Examples include, quote, former FBI Director James Comey, who self-identified as a communist, current Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland, who is a communist, al-Qaeda financier Abdurrahman Alamoudi, who served as President Bill Clinton's advisor for 8 years, and Mohammed Majid, who was recently appointed by President Biden to serve as a commissioner on the U.S. Commission for International Religious Freedom, who is a senior Muslim Brotherhood / jihadi leader, end quote. So this is examples that they're giving. Now, I'm going to react to that right now. There's many examples of jihadist infiltration, communist infiltration into the United States of America. If you're just catching up on this, you got a lot of reading to do. Go to Unconstrained Analytics and start with Remembering the Misremembered Left. That's a great primer for it. And there's a couple of videos that Steve Coughlin has put out on this as well. Also, you can go to Understanding the Threat, and they have a lot of the source documents that are talking about here. Now, the next example they give, quote, additionally, 23 former U.S. senators and representatives currently work for a lobbying firm representing communist Chinese intelligence and military organizations. Over 65 members of the House of Representatives are communists or closely working with and support domestic and foreign communist organizations and leaders. And the current FBI director, Christopher Wray, spoke at the recent World Economic Forum conference held in Davos, Switzerland, end quote. Next example that they give down here is this, that the primary means by which this enemy cabal, communist movement, Islamic movement, collaborators, and financiers advances most rapidly and insinuates itself into local communities is through the interfaith outreach efforts. The U.S. interfaith outreach programs are controlled by the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood. Interfaith outreach was initiated by the U.S. communist movement Front Organization Industrial Areas Foundation. Now, if you have never heard of the Industrial Areas Foundation, it was created by Saul Alinsky, who authored Rules for Radicals, which he dedicated to Lucifer, right on the front cover. We also know that Karl Marx was arguably a Satanist, and you could read his poems, which have a lot of satanic imagery, which he wrote in 1837. Now, this is the basis. There's a whole bunch more here, but this is the basis of what they're talking about. Now, I want to get into the key indicators that they are citing. And I'm just going to give you several of them. First, the Trans Day of Vengeance beginning on April 1st and the killing of Christians. So there are several photographs that are with this article. Travis, you can put up a couple of those that explicitly during this Trans Day of Vengeance called for the killing of Christians in the United States of America. In addition to that, the Adala Justice Project, a pro-jihadi group being significantly funded by the Tides Foundation, is promoting the Trans Justice Funding Project, end quote, quote unquote. Okay. And I want to talk about a couple more here as well. Green lighting violence. Well, we're seeing that happen in Chicago, where they're downplaying the mass protests that happened with violence at the center of Chicago. But there are more specific things. Quote, Minnesota's lieutenant governor publicly signaled permission from the authority of her office to the communist trans movement to kill when she wore a T-shirt which read, "Protect trans kids," with a huge knife across the chest, and then put that photo up out on social media, end quote. And you can see that photo here. Now, at the very least, I mean, it's my reaction to some of these things that they're talking about. At the very least, we could say that this defund the police movement is not only a miserable failure, it's intentional. It's trying to destabilize our inner cities so that people are afraid to go there. Businesses are driven out. It's intentional. They know. These are not dumb people. They know by defunding the police that there is going to be more crime. They know by not prosecuting even the smallest crimes, you know, the broken window theory, even the smallest crimes, that you're going to have more crimes. They know that by not enforcing warrants, there's going to be more crimes, because they know, they, being the criminals, know that they can get away with it. So at the very least, seeing stuff like that, if this had been a patriot out there, right, this would be all over the mainstream media news. So at the very least, it's a poor choice of a T-shirt. Especially consider that there has been violence against Christians all over the United States ramping up here over the last 5 years. In fact, here locally in Spokane, there has been violence targeted at Christians and Christian churches. And just here, we had a Bible desecrated and thrown into the parking lot here recently at On Fire Ministries. So you have specific, credible examples of this stuff happening. And the more that there's cover given to it, or just kind of laughing it off, oh, ha, 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 it's giving that green light. This is what they're saying. This should be immediately disavowed by people like the lieutenant governor of Minnesota. Now, April 14, 2023, quote, Vice President Kamala Harris spoke at the National Action Network conference. In her speech, Harris belittled and attacked police, identified citizens who support constitutional liberties as extremists, and supported the recent violence in the Tennessee Capitol building, and incorrectly identified the American form of government as a democracy. We are a republic. In other words, if you commit violence, we are with you, quote, unquote. Again, reacting to this, there's a T-shirt, you can see it, it says trans rights, got a bunch of rifles, and then it says dot, 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 or else. Okay, so this isn't like somebody supporting the Second Amendment, they have a rifle, they have the Gonzales battle flag with a cannon or something like that. This is a threat, or else, okay? Another one, Trans Resistance Network posted up online, we know you have all been waiting for this, invite your family and friends, quote, to do literally anything, end quote. Then you have this one, and I'm not going to read it because there are some expletives there, but basically it says, kill and behead and roundhouse and slam dunk Christian babies and a bunch of other things, all right? And then you also have Antifa and the Socialist Rifle Association weighing in on this. And I want you to just hear this as well. This was posted here this year. Quote, we have no compassion and we ask no compassion from you. When our turn comes, we shall make no excuses for the terror. Karl Marx. This was posted by the Socialist Rifle Association of Minnesota. So very clearly, these are indicators that are ramping it up. Now, I have some specific indicators I want to give to you. If you have somebody all of a sudden show up at your church, or one or two people, and they're pulling their hats down to avoid your cameras, they're staying there for only a short period of time, specifically focusing on the entrances of your church, you need to say something. Number two, if you've experienced a cyber attack, now there have been some cyber attacks on Christian ministries here locally just in the last 3 weeks. If you experience a cyber attack, could be an attempt to hack your computer directly, could be an attempt to take down a network at your church, say something. And you can always let us know so we can pass this along to folks that can do something about this. We also, as an indicator, need to be looking for, when I say negative, I'm talking violent rhetoric from these communists and jihadi organizations locally. You want to take a look at the Socialist Rifle Association. You want to take a look at the local Antifa elements and see if they're posting the violent rhetoric and take screenshots and screen captures of it, especially if they're showing a picture of a church in the background, but they don't list it by name. Number four, if violence begins and leaders are targeted, Christians are targeted, okay, I want to give you a specific key indicator ahead of time. It's called pre-attack surveillance. You'll be driving out of your driveway and you'll see somebody parked at the end of your driveway that doesn't belong there very clearly. Somebody parked right near the church as you pull in the morning and they stay there for an hour and a half. Take a picture of the license plate and say something. Report it. And especially for your security teams, they should be ramping up their vigilance right now. And then the fifth indicator that you want to really be paying attention to in this time: a letter in the mail, harassing emails, maybe even a harassing text. Don't just pass it off, especially if it's to the church phone or the church email. Again, screenshot it, capture it, and say something about it. Report it. This is very critical in this time that we're in. The violence that is coming against the Christian church here, we can pray against and we will pray against. And we're going to actually see some interesting things happen. We're going to see people that came in to do violence into the church instead give their lives to Jesus Christ. We're going to see people who are going to try to shoot someone and the gun won't go off and they're going to give their lives to Jesus Christ. We're going to see these things happen with our waking eyes. But that does not mean that we're also not vigilant ourselves. And this is happening around the country. I want to end with a quote from their article from Understanding the Threat Today, where they actually mention a couple things. So this is from April 25th, and this is what the quote is. And again, maybe this resonates with you, maybe it doesn't. But we need to be vigilant. We need to be vigilant. We need to understand where we come from. And so this article from April 25th, it specifically calls out that we are one nation under God. And I want to read this quote to you right now. And I hope, too, that you take these things, share it with your friends and family, and don't just make it something that, you know, you heard on the radio. This is from just a bunch of different sources, a bunch of different primary sources. But this quote at the end by Ronald Reagan is key. And also one made by Dwight Eisenhower. So he made some remarks after signing a law adding under God to the Pledge of Allegiance on June 14th, 1954. And here's what he said. Quote, "Freedom prospers when religion is vibrant and the rule of law under God is acknowledged," end quote. And Ronald Reagan said at the annual convention of the National Association of Evangelicals on 8th of March, 1983, quote, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." And actually, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. So the first one was from the National Association of Evangelicals, and that second one was from the Dallas Ecumenical Prayer Breakfast, August 23rd, 1984. Take those quotes, remember them, be vigilant, be strong, and understand that God has put us in such a time as this, and we need to be the sons of Issachar, knowing what to do when we see those signs of the times. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody for tuning in today. And get a chance, go to Podbean, go to Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, and you can find Patriot Radio there and virtually on every social media outlet that we can think of anyway, at Matt Shea, at Matt Shea 1 on Truth Social, and at Rep Matt Shea on Twitter. Follow us. Just hit the share button. So many people think people are seeing this. They aren't. Hit share. If you're on Gab or MeWe, it doesn't. Hit share on your social media and make sure that your friends and your families are seeing this as well. All right, it's my honor to bring on somebody that has helped to break a national news story here recently, Linda Wow. Linda's been a volunteer chaplain at the Pierce County Jail for 6 years, sharing the gospel one-on-one with over 1,000 inmates. And today she's bringing us inside news about what has been going on in the shadows behind bars. Linda, it is great to have you on Patriot Radio. Welcome, and how are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much. It's like seriously an honor to be on here since I watch your show all the time. I couldn't believe it when you invited me.
Well, I invited you because you've taken a courageous stand and really have helped to bring this subject to light. Now, I don't want to give anything away. I want to let you do it. First of all, what are you going to bring to everybody today? And how did you get kind of tipped off on this as well?
Well, it's been going on, the trans issue of men in the prison have been going on as long as I can remember, working in not so much in the jail, because in the jail, they separate. If you're a female and you go in there, then you're going to go into the female section no matter who you say you are. So that was up until March of 2020 when Governor Inslee, you know, didn't allow any more volunteers to go in any places. And so we haven't been back in the jail yet, or at least I haven't heard of any volunteers being back in there yet. So I started mentoring one of the gals that I met in the jail. I started mentoring her when she went to the prison. I followed her over there, but I'm just a visitor over at the prison, or I should say I was just a visitor until last week. So I always have fought for just, you know, the marginalized people. I mean, we're talking, you know, some of these girls didn't get a fair trial for whatever reason that things come up, but I was always there for them. You know, I tried to go to as many court hearings as I could so I could, you know, talk to them when they got back from court and they were either super elated or super depressed. Either way, I just always try to get them to lean on God, because that's the answer to everything.
Jesus is the answer to everything. So as you're talking with some of these folks, they bring out some stories, and this might be a little bit shocking to some of the listeners and people watching online. And so, you know, there is going to be some content we're going to talk about that might be a little bit disturbing. So just keep that in mind as we move forward. So go ahead, Linda. Tell us what's going on.
Okay. So Natasha is a gal that, like I said, I've been with her for 7 years. I just, I felt like God put it on my heart just to follow one person, even though I still keep up with lots of girls outside of prison, and I've walked it out with a lot of them, help them find, you know, apartments, jobs, meet their parole officers. I've tried to do everything I could just as a volunteer, just as a friend, as a sister, in some cases, obviously a mother, a figure. And with Natasha, I just followed her all the way. I was, I have her power of attorney. She calls me her stepmom. You know, I typically, you know, give her all the money and everything she needs inside the jail for her canteen is what they call it. And I keep up with her. I video with her. I phone with her. I just do life with her, just like a regular, you know, person. And this is what happened. So I think you guys have an email that I sent you, which is what started this whole entire personal thing to me. Was Natasha and I a week earlier had a conversation. Yep. We'd had a conversation about, she was saying, you know, what was going on. She was like, can you help us? Can you do something? I said, well, you know, I'll see what I can do. But, you know, I've written emails and letters, and I have never gotten a response from anybody about my concern about everything that's going on in there. And then that was on the 29th or the 24th. And then, so it was on the 24th, and Natasha told me she was concerned. Then on the 29th, that was the email that you just saw. that she was freaking out because now she's one of the people that had a trans male who calls themselves a female living with her in her room. So it's seriously disturbing. And I was afraid. She was afraid. When I saw her, she hadn't even slept. And it had been over a week. And then I went in there and saw her because they finally started letting people in the prison without doing a swab. I don't trust the government. So, you know, I had to wait for that to get done. So then when I went in there, we chatted and talked, and she looked horrible, like horrible. She didn't have any of her makeup on. She looked extremely tired and stressed, and she said she couldn't sleep. And I said, well, what, why? And she said, well, the guy is on tons of medication. And she said, so he's always night terrors all night long, banging on the bed frame, and she's on the top bunk. So she's literally afraid for her life in there.
Sounds like he is being tormented demonically. We don't get into that today, but the fact is that there are a lot of ladies that are in prison right now that have suffered their own abuse, have gone through some really horrible things, and then to put them in a cell with a biological male. So we have the email, and Travis, I think you put that up there, but I also, we have a little bit of a sound bite, I think, that we want to play right now. So Travis, could you go ahead and cue that?
So are you saying that you personally know women that have gotten pregnant in there from a transgender who said he was interested in men, but he got a woman pregnant and they let the woman out of her sentence 18 months early because she was pregnant?
Yes. And one of these men who had impregnated a woman, and the man's name was Princess Andromeda Love. You can look this person up. This person had lawsuits against WCCW for various reasons and this and that and this and that, and was very boastful about his approach on how he was going to silence WCCW if they took any type of action towards him. He always threatened with lawsuits. So I don't hate them in any way, but I do believe that if you are conforming to be a woman, you shouldn't have any vital parts that still label you a man that work, come to an institution where there are vulnerable women, impregnate them, and then the prison sweep it under the rug and let the person out who got impregnated, who actually was a woman, of course, let her out early because they don't want to bring any type of attention to the matter.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, Linda, we literally have biological males who are taking advantage of vulnerable females in our prisons here in Washington State. Is there anything being done about that?
They're trying to silence me and other people that have concerns. There's 15 of them, from what I understand, from the president of the Family Council. He told me this last week, that there's 15, there's 10 in Natasha's unit. And, I mean, we're talking, I don't know how to say this because it's just so, I mean, I want to cry every time. We're talking child rapists, women, men who have raped women. And now the women that got raped are in there with the same men. We're talking murders, people that have murdered the males over at the men's prison. And then all of a sudden they changed their mind and said, well, you know what? Now I'm a woman. So now they're over at the women's prison. So you're talking like 85% are violent criminals, according to the president of the Family Council. Well, there's only 3% of the women that are violent criminals. Very dangerous.
Yeah, very dangerous combination. So, I mean, this brings up the question, have any of these biological males been prosecuted or charged with rape mm-hmm. in these prisons?
Mm-hmm. No. And I can only speak of, I only know about WCCW. Okay. So I only know about the women's prison in Gig Harbor. And like I said, I'm just a volunteer, but I'm extremely infiltrated in there with several. Even though Natasha is the one I mainly mentor, I know lots of women inside, and they all, you know, reach out to me and ask me to help them. When I do bring it up to the powers that be, they ignore me, and they told me that trans women are women and they will not be talking anatomy with me. And I said, well, I'm talking rape. So You know, that's a little different. If somebody gets pregnant, that's not a woman and a woman. Okay. So can we just have real life conversations here? They will not and have not entertained any discussion of protection. Wow. Or if anything, and I think I sent, I'm not sure, but if I sent you that part that it says that they actually get everything in there for themselves over the biological female inmates. So they're favored.
You know what would be a very good public records request to do right now is a public records request to the Washington State prisons and ask them how many in the women's prisons have been pregnant mm-hmm. in the last 2 years, and then how many abortions have been performed on women's prisoners in the last 2 years. I think that would be a fantastic public records request to kind of get a handle on this whole situation, at least get a start of a handle on the situation. When you've talked to these ladies, you know, they've already told you they've expressed fear, told you it's stressing them out. Can you mm-hmm. describe a little bit more about what they've been telling you as far as how it's impacted their emotional state as well?
Right. So you have to, these men get to go in the showers. I mean, they have every right that the biological women have because, you know, they know what their rights are. They're criminals. They need this. They know their rights better than the biological females. So, you know, getting special treatment, the gals in there that are older that need estrogen that are maybe going through the change, they can't get it, but the trans can get their estrogen shots daily if need be. So, you know, you're talking favoritism for the trans, and from what I understand, except for one or two of them, all of them are in sexual relationships with inmates. Many are trying to get impregnated so they can get out early and scream rape, which is PREA. It's the Prison Rape Elimination Act, I think. And so they're all in on it together. And the part that's so scary is that, you know, they're on all this medication, which goes against, if you're a male and you're on estrogen, you know, that's pretty much going to go against everything that God gave us. So, of course, you know, you're going to see some demonic activity. I did question recently. I questioned some things that have been going on there that are very disturbing as far as behavior from other people in the prison towards the girls. And I got, you know, shut down pretty quickly. But I noticed that they're going through guards like nobody's business. And I asked, you know, why is this happening? And the inmate shared with me that they're getting walked off all the time. So instead of getting prosecuted, which is what I asked, why they're not being prosecuted and why they're all just getting walked off, nobody would give me a straight answer.
Incredible.
So it's illegal. It should be illegal. If nothing else, it's immoral. And, you know, it's just very difficult because these girls are trying to, you know, be a changed person. And they're some of the guards there are sneaking in, you know, meth and cell phones and alcohol and cigarettes. And, you know, it's just it's almost like Sodom and Gomorrah, but live. It frankly scares me.
I mean, this is appalling. And if you could describe a little bit about what some of the women are doing to get away from these biological men, at least the ones that don't mm-hmm. want to be part of all of this.
Well, that's the problem that I kind of have because the inmate that I actually mentor is black, and her sister happens to be in there as well. She just came in there a few weeks ago. She has a very, very, very tiny newborn baby not in there with her. But she also got one of the trans, and hers is, I mean, it makes the guy that you just showed look like a fairy princess. And so you're talking, I mean, these are dangerous criminals. This is not just a guy who mentally thinks. I mean, these are repeat offenders that some of them have, you know, 20-year sentences, and they just want to go in there and have sex with the women. They've been coming in and out of there since 2012. Before this bill got put into place, which is only, I think, I think the bill's less than a year and a half old. Before the bill got put in, there was only one or two, and they kept to themselves. They were in their own units, but now they say that they cannot be in their own units because it's not fair, and they have to be put with a female. My gal went the first day and said, uh-uh, you know, this, I can't, this cannot happen. And they told her that she had to wait 30 days, even though the gentleman that's in her unit right now came in her unit because another gal and he were fighting all the time. And so they moved him within a few days from what I understand. But for Natasha, they told her she had to wait 30 days and she can't eat. She can't sleep. But if she says anything, she goes to the hole in isolation.
Well, I know that in prison, sometimes people will fake being sick or something to get out of whatever situation they're in. Have you heard anything along that line?
No, because that's not even any better. The infirmary, or like Natasha calls it, the loony bin, they will send you down to the loony bin if you say that you don't want to be with them. So she can never say that she's afraid, because they will put her in the loony bin or send her down to isolation. She did tell them several times, I am very, very uncomfortable with this. Both she and her sister were sexually molested when they were younger, so they have PTSD already about this situation.
That is so, and I, you can just imagine the stories of people that have experienced abuse before going into prison. It doesn't excuse what they did to put them in prison, but it's still something that we need to be cognizant of and recognize and be compassionate about. I think that where I want to go next with this is, what's the standard for a man to go into the women's prison? Does he just have to say, I feel like a woman today, and they get sent in? Tell listeners.
Yes.
Wow.
According to Natasha, she said all they have to do is just say it, and that's where they're going. And she told me that they're going right from county into the women's prison, not even spending one day in the man's prison. So she said, you know, they go there, of course, you know, because there women are fighting to have sex with them because they want to have a million-dollar baby. So they can sue and get out and share the money. And Natasha and these other girls, they are literally, Jesus people, and they are 100% trying to better themselves. Natasha only has 5 more credits and she graduates from in there. She is like, you know, the model, you know, inmate, as you say, but if you knew her, you would love her. She's just like anybody you would normally meet. She's a really, really amazing person. A lot of the girls in there are amazing. And some, you know, they all know that if they're guilty, they don't say, I'm not guilty. They don't say that. They know they're guilty, but they are trying to better themselves and rehabilitate. But, you know, since COVID, they have not, the library's been closed. They haven't had a chaplain. You know, I'm a volunteer chaplain. They wouldn't let me go in there because I didn't want to get the pokey poke. And so, you know, but I would volunteer anywhere for anybody just to, you know, introduce the gospel. Because literally these women, they have had the worst, they've had the worst lives. When you think of the worst lives you've seen in movies, this is times 10. These women have lived through some things that, you know, we've only read about or seen. And they, once they find Jesus and they realize that none of this shocks him, you know, I usually read them Psalm 139, you know, 12 through 16, that he wrote a book about them. He knows them. And none of this surprises them. And that he loves them and they can start brand new fresh. And then they do. And they are. Not everybody, but I'd say majority of the people have literally changed their lives after they've heard the gospel.
Amen. And that's what this is all about. Now, I know some of these ladies are banding together to try to fight this. And I know that you're working on helping them with fighting this. If you can, give us a place that people can go if they want to the help in this fight or get involved in this fight.
Great. Thank you. So yes, my whole goal of, coming forth with all this, I probably wouldn't even have done this to this degree if Natasha had not gotten that mail in her room. I probably would still be just a small little chaplain trying to introduce the gospel to inmates. But right now I'm trying to get Natasha a lawyer, a resentencing lawyer. And it takes Oh my gosh. I think that there's only two, I think, from what I understand in Pierce County. The one I did talk to said he needed a $15,000 retainer. And so another thing, I did a go, is it a give, send, go?
Yeah.
I think is what it's called. And it's called Free Natasha. It's, you know, got the hashtag Free Natasha. And so I'm hoping that people will donate and help me get her a lawyer so that she can get another trial, a fair trial. And, you know, she's the nicest. She never blames anybody. Like, if you knew her, she has three children. If you met her, you would never, ever think that she's been to jail or prison. She is the bomb. So you would love her. She is definitely a woman of God. She witnesses to so many people in there. We do tons of Bible studies together. You know, she's just a regular person that went through a bad time. And, you know, she's got a pretty big sentence. She'd never been to prison before. So if people could, you know, help, yeah, Jesus, I'd appreciate it.
And Jesus can meet us all where we're at, too. And I want to thank you, Linda, for bringing this to our attention. And this is going on here. I know this is broken out into a national news story. James O'Keefe has talked about this. I know there's more to come, but I want to thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless you and look forward to talking with you about this again.
Great. Thank you so much. Oh, and I loved your sermon from Sunday. I've been playing it over and over.
Well, thank you. God is good. It was very powerful to a lot of people. All right. God bless and keep up the fight.
I love it. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Linda. Wow. She's been a volunteer chaplain at Pierce County. She just told a story about how biological males are just saying, hey, I'm a guy, and they're getting into women's prisons and literally staying in the same room. Absolutely incredible. Again, James O'Keefe has done an undercover video on this. You can look at that as well. I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but right is wrong and wrong is right and up is down and down is up. Something about that in the scripture somewhere. All right, we're going to close with this. We have an event coming up, an update on the Copper Scroll Project with Jim Barfield, May 10th, 6:30 p.m. right here at On Fire Ministries, 115 East Pacific. Jim Barfield, he's going to be zooming in, and you'll be able to ask questions. If you're not familiar with the Copper Scroll Project, absolutely fantastic archaeological project, and talking about, well, the last times. And Jim is a great friend and a really courageous guy, too, because he upended the traditional notions and proved it. So Jim Barfield of the Copper Scroll Project is going to be here at On Fire Ministries live. And again, it's going to be via Zoom, 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, May 10th. Also, in the You Are the Plan segment, practical preparedness. One of the things that people always forget to prepare for is, what do you drink every morning? Well, if you're an American, it's either coffee. It should just be coffee. Didn't we dump the tea in the harbor? All right, I'm just joking. We also drink tea a little bit as well. So have you stocked up on tea and coffee for times where that might be hard to get? And people out there listening to me right now are going to thank me that I brought this up as a practical preparedness tip. All right. Also want to talk about what's happening on the economic front. Now, I've talked about this briefly before. The U.S. dollar is extremely resilient. In fact, the Russians just recently admitted that it would be very difficult to completely destroy the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency. That doesn't mean they're not trying to diminish the U.S. dollar in foreign transactions, in foreign contracts, foreign banking, but they've already admitted that it's very hard to dethrone the U.S. dollar. Now, here's the point. As inflation increases, gold and silver should go up, but it's not sometimes. Why? Well, because of EFTs and other things where it's just paper silver or paper gold, and it's used to manipulate the price of the currency or the price of the gold and silver, and almost like manipulating currency. And so today, people ask, well, what is a good store of value and where can I go? Where can I put money? Well, I can't give you financial advice. But what I could tell you historically is that land always weathers these storms very well. And in fact, at the end of the Weimar Republic in Germany, the way that they got out of hyperinflation was by backing the currency, the German mark, with land. That's how they got out of it. So I hope that kind of gives you a historical perspective on the times that we're coming into. All right. I also want to play a very brief clip right now and end kind of on a great note. This is a, I don't know how you'd call it, a worship flash mob. Take a listen.
How great is our God? Oh, how great is our God? See with me how great is our God? Oh, see how great is our God.
I want everybody out there, remember that. How great is our God? When we come into these times right now, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. How great is our God? He could turn these situations into huge blessings. So don't look at the water and don't look at the feet as you step out of the boat onto the water. Don't look at your feet. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus in the middle of the storm. And everything is going to turn out just fine. And it's going to turn out in a way that expands his kingdom and glorifies him. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me today on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you. And he is making this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight. Awakening is here.